in Suffolk.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'd just like to pick up really on the previous speaker from a slightly different aspect, which is this, that should a Scottish government decide that it wished to remain actually utilising what would become the English pound, then that obviously should only be on conditions established by the Bank of England and the English government. Because fundamentally, England and the Bank of England could end up, like Germany, having to bail out Greece and other countries with the euro.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
In other words, it is very important that the English are involved in the decision that Scotland goes for independence.
Okay, thank you very much. I can squeeze in Christopher Bailey from Wickham in Essex, but only in about 30 seconds, if you'd be so kind.
Okay, I'm given to understand that nearly half the population of Scotland, in one way or another, work for the state. In simple terms, you can't run an economy like that. Now, I can't earn enough money to raise my own family and pay somebody else to raise their own family. It doesn't work. That's what Greece is. Now, North Sea oil will run out for a short while, and then Scotland's back to having to be subsidised. So if I've got the choice, I'd like a national referendum for the entire of the United Kingdom, and my vote is Scotland out.
Okay, thank you. I can just squeeze in this from Patricia Dickerman. The people of the rest of the UK don't seem to realise the gravity of what is happening in Scotland. The economy of the UK needs Scotland as badly as we need the rest of the UK. Aside from the issue of North Sea oil revenues and their massive contribution to the payment of the UK national debt, there is no justification in the idea, sometimes heard on the right of English politics, that England would be better off without its expensive neighbour. We need our cousins from the rest of the UK to send a clear message to the separatists that they do not want Scotland to break away from the United Kingdom. We have to break away now. From Any Answers, thanks for your calls, your emails. Have a very good afternoon.
Any Answers was presented by Jonathan Dimbleby and produced by Lisa Jenkinson. There's classic comedy starting over on Radio 4 Extra now, hair-raising events for Neddy Seagoon when London's monuments are sabotaged in The Goons. Here on BBC Radio 4 now, a powerful and moving study of the marriage of T.S. Eliot and Vivian Hague Wood by Michael Hastings, one of the most outstanding British playwrights of the 20th century, who died in November. Now, in commemoration of his achievements in theatre, radio and film, we present perhaps his best-known play.
Tom and Viv by Michael Hastings, with Benedict Cumberbatch, Leah Williams, David Haig and Judy Parfitt.
Oxford, 1915.
Tom? Why aren't you inside, chattering to all the Don's wives?
I don't chatter very well.
Or dancing?
I won't dance. I find it an enormous effort to be trivial.
Oh dear.
You aren't mad at me.
I was thinking you've possibly reduced your chances of being a social success here at Oxford by a hideous margin. That's all.
I'm sorry. When are we alone?
Cor blimey. Ain't you a bore and no mistake? Cor blimey. All right. We could go up to London. The house is empty, only the staff, and the house is stuffed with cigarettes, so we can be as decadent as we like. The season's coming up. There's Ascot and Goodwood, the Russians at Covent Garden. Daddy never uses the box, so we don't have to spend a bean.
I don't have clothes for all of these things.
Clothes.
I'm deeply touched. I bask in your light, but I can't do all these things. I love you more than life itself. I love you.
Oh, dear.
Excuse me?
You don't have to be so wet about it.
I don't.
I'm not on fire or something.
Oh.
I know all that anyway. Really? Come on. Let's go. It's a polka. Lots of us. Ever so simple and jump all about. Make an absolute arse of yourself. Oh, Tom. Plunge. Just plunge.
We have a manor house on Anglesey, which we keep for the summer. We close up the London home and take all dogs, maids and children. My husband has estates in Dublin. He is also a landscape artist. He finds a lot to paint on Anglesey. Our daughter, Vivian, is our eldest child. We also have a son, Morris, who is in the army. Vivi is in Oxford. She is not at Oxford, of course. She is staying with friends of ours nearby. She has met an American boy who studies philosophy. I worry about Vivian. I worry so much when matters get too close. Last year, I even told one boy's parents she is not allowed to marry because she is not marriage material. Shameful, I know.
Viv.
Yes?
Vivian.
Love. It's all right. They're all away.
We shouldn't be in your bedroom.
Nonsense.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to proceed.
Well, we'll start at the beginning.
Hmm?
Tell all our friends. Take out bands. Do all the things expected of us. Just go through the ropes.
And then?
No one can stop us.
You know, I really look up to my sister. I remember my final term at Malvern. Vivi descended on the school. She gushed like hell about London and the Hippodrome and the ballet. She took us out for a tremendous tea in town. And then she comes back and does an actual cartwheel on the lawn right in front of the housemaster's res. Undergarment all to show. I just died. Vivi had a standing joke with me after the war. She asks, how on earth did I survive? I always reply, every bullet missed.
Out of the blue came a telegram. Tom and Viv had run off and married in a registry place. Vivi had contrived it to spite me. With her medical history, I would have put a stop to it. And I was especially afraid for young Tom.
Oh, God, Viv! Welcome home and congratulations on the marriage.
Thank you.
God, it's all been so sudden, hasn't it? Families in a state of shock, really.
Mum and Dad?
On the train from Anglesey, got the telegram this morning, bringing with them thunder and wrath, I should think. Let's get plastered before they arrive. What do you think of the uniform?
I suppose it lends you a shred of distinction.
Oh, squelch. That's the old Vivi, all right.
Is it? I'm not staying.
But you've got to. You can't just elope and not come home and tell us about it.
I'm dropping some clothes off. I want washed, that's all.
Then there was going to be a filthy family row when Mum and Dad got in. I was looking forward to that.
You are a worm.
Anyway, it was a fantastic honeymoon, wasn't it? Bags of candlelight.
Bags? I set light to the hotel curtains with them.
And you must have gone out and seen all the sights and stuff?
I lay in bed all day with the blinds closed and I bolted the door.
Oh, rather. Got stuck into the dreaded sex business.
Every night, Tom took a rug and slept in a deck chair under the pier with a bottle of gin.
Ah. I'm dying to meet the Yank. Every family needs a wild, crazed sort of black sheep. Does he go in for polka dot ties and sort of crashing coloured shirts? Who's this? It's your chauffeur with a laundry basket.
How do you do?
Absolutely.
I'm Tom.
You are?
Yes. Well, I was this morning when I woke up.
Of course you are. God, I'm rude. You must excuse me. I'm Morris.
The fratress?
Sir?
Brother-in-law.
Ah, yes, fratress. My Greek's not up to much these days.
Latin.
Ah.
Squelch.
I've just been hearing about your honeymoon. It's been ripping, hasn't it?
Yes. We're enormously happy. I'm a very proud man.
It's all been such massive fun.
Massive.
I gather you're going to be the poet in the family.
Mm.
I'm afraid I'm pretty much a conservative in that area. I wondered if your poems rhyme.
Massively.
Well, of course, all things don't have to
rhyme. I've written a little ballad about old King Balo's vain duck-billed queen. Had a brightly coloured sphincter, she wiped her bum with tangerine and swallowed saffron tincture.
Pretty hot stuff poetry.
Why, thank you, Morris.
I'm rather keen on Robert Service. The Ballad of Blasphemous Bill? Actually, I know that by heart. Shall I give you a rendition?
Goodbye, Morris.
No, wait. I don't mean to be a squelch. Honest.
Tell Mummy I've left the laundry basket.
I'm awfully sorry. Tom, My mind's jammed with useless bits of info, isn't yours? You can't leave like this. What am I going to say to Mum and Dad? A toast? What? To Tom and Viv on their ripping honeymoon.
Mrs. Elliot?
Yes?
Prescription. The anodyne and the bromide.
Thank you.
But, well, this anodyne is 60% spirit of ether, and the bromide is 90% alcohol.
Well, what about it?
I hope you won't think I'm too keen, but when taken together, these compounds have a dangerous effect.
You think my physician, Sir Frederick Treves, who is also the King's personal physician, erred in some way?
Oh, please, no. See, I'm new here. Well, that's why I talk so. Terrified. I want to become night nurse. The senior chemist here says girls ain't reliable enough for such posts. Well, that ain't true, ma'am, is it?
May I go now?
That'll be 1 shilling and 4p, ma'am.
The account is in my mother's name. Mrs. Hagwood!
I won't excuse what we've done. I can't apologise for being in love with Vivi. She's married me on nothing. I owe her everything. I am convinced she is the right person. She has made this sacrifice. She is my life. I don't know what else to do.
You could, of course, sit down.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Hagwood.
And do something sensible with that hat and brolly.
I didn't mean to hurt you.
Lemon?
Thank you.
You know, Hampstead at this time of the year is crammed with people making confessions to one another. That's why I like to get away. Anglesey is very different.
Really?
I so hoped we could have an ordinary chat about the little things. How was the wedding?
Just a very civil affair.
Vivi wear white?
No.
Very sensible. Then you went to Eastbourne?
We booked the Lansdowne for 2 weeks. After 6 nights, the money ran out.
Oh, dear. It's lovely to find a good hotel and nice, discreet staff, but these places are frightfully expensive. Was it a sunny room?
We hardly had a moment indoors to find out.
Ah.
We spent hours up on the Wish Tower roof watching the boats. It's a 10-minute brisk walk to the pier each day. Very bracing for Vivi. Cowslip and fruit in the hedgerows. Had to wash the blackberries in our room. So much salt in the air.
Bliss.
Yes, that's right.
I have a letter. Dear Madam, thank you for the return of the sheets and hand towels which belong to room 86. During her short stay, Mrs. Elliot insisted on changing all linen herself. The chambermaid tried to gain access, but the doors were somehow barracked. There are marks on a chest of drawers. A curtain is burned, a window pane is missing. Under these circumstances, Mr. Elliot behaved with such forbearance, the management has decided not to press for reparation. Yours faithfully, Messrs. Lansdowne Hotel, Eastbourne. Before she rushed you into this headlong, what did she tell you?
Nothing.
I am enormously proud of you. I think you are going to make a wonderful member of the family. And you and me will keep our little secret.
Mums, here they are.
Hello, Tom. Now, let's get this nonsense over and done with. You're both 26. None of my business what you do. Is she pregnant?
No, sir.
After her money?
I wasn't aware she had any.
Why would Johnny come lately?
Excuse me?
Cad. Bounder.
Not to my knowledge, no.
What does Mr. Elliot say?
He's withheld my allowance.
Get anything from Harvard?
$100 a year.
Oh.
To finish a paper on Bradley. F.H. Bradley is a philosopher. He believes the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
The very last thing my husband will want to hear about is someone else's philosophy.
Got a roof?
A small room in Bloomsbury.
Got a club?
Harvard Dramatic.
What is your ambition?
I have no idea.
Try prospects.
Well?
None whatsoever.
Followed by intentions.
Yes?
I believe family unity is the root of all culture. Vivi is my life. I'll care for her always.
Ah.
Much too serious. Let's keep life on a social level.
Any special talent?
And we don't brag.
I have a feeling for ditties which rhyme.
How small did you say this room is you've got?
Well, it is small.
Jolly romantic, small.
We met an old tutor of mine. Bertie Russell has a flat in Berry Street. He insisted we share it with him. It's a room behind the kitchen where he stores china. It's large enough for a single cot, and there's a davenport. Sometimes I sleep in a deck chair in the hall.
I once danced with a Bertie Russell in Ostend.
I don't want any of you to be shocked, but Bertie is the Honourable Bertrand Russell. He's chairman of the No Conscription Fellowship.
Oh, the Bolshevik, the seducer. Bertie, who the Express calls the most hated man in London. Why should I be shocked? He's most probably a member of the Junior Carlton, and I bump into him once a week.
Doesn't sound like the Bertie I danced with.
If I could lay your mind at rest, I've applied for a teaching job, and I have an offer of 6 lectures on French symbolism.
$2 a week? There's this crockery cupboard you share with the most hated man in London. There are 6 French symbols somewhere, and a deck chair, and not a prospect in sight. Nothing could make me feel more secure. Can I go back to Anglesey now?
Ah, got Viv? Been shopping again?
Mum, Dad, leaflet. Read the leaflet. The No Conscription Fellowship wants your support. Britain will honour its pact with Belgium and France, but no more. Tens of thousands are dead. 500,000 troops are enough. Stop it now.
So how is the Honourable Bertie?
War is utterly brutal. And you're going to send Morris. And he's going to die.
Oh, ask Vivi. Her to stop.
The good news is that Bertie has paid for my dance classes for a year. He wants to give away £3,000 worth of bonds in a munition factory. Investment in war is a crime. Absentee landlords are vermin to be put down.
That is filthy nonsense.
Thank you, Vivi.
Everybody in this room is dead. You're parchment and dust. I'll never come back.
Please. I think Vivi would like to talk to me. Men out, please. And you, Tom. Very still. Very calm. And you could hear what you were saying?
Yes.
Was Tom a virgin?
Yes.
He's not quite what I imagined a poet to be.
Sorry, Mummy.
And he's not quite one of us.
Sorry.
I only want you to lead a decent life.
Mummy, try all you like. You can't stop it now. Tom is mine. Whatever.
Let's talk about the other business.
Bertie said...
And nothing more. You understand?
I take the pills for my head. The tummy comes back. I take the liquid for the tummy. The head is back. Sometimes I take them all at once. I know I'm not supposed to, but...
How often does Granny visit you?
I thought Granny was dead.
Very well. How often do you get the curse?
Twice, 3 times.
In a month?
Yes. But it isn't like Granny. It's a little pinkness. I call it my pinky pale little flowers. The more often things get frightful, the more often there is a flower or two.
You have a lot of off days?
Yes.
You have a plentiful supply of STs?
Yes, I have so many sanitary towels, I could make a Canadian patchwork eiderdown.
That is not nice.
In 2 colours.
Vivian, these are nasty things, darling. They are not easy to put into words. And most off-putting for a husband.
Yes.
One can only go so far. Of course, I don't want to find fault. But I'm certain this doesn't come from my side of the family.
I should think Dad'll be glad to hear that.
The Honourable Bertie bought her dresses and pressed her with jewels, which were family heirlooms. She was swept off her feet. He took her to the Torbay Hotel for a holiday. What were we to believe? She wanted the affair. When she got back to London, I sent Morris Rand with the car to Bloomsbury with instructions to fetch Tom and Vivi immediately.
Top floor? Bolshevik and most hated man in London. The light bulb's gone.
Pull yourself together, Morris.
Tom? What are you doing here? Crouched outside the door.
Contemplating Morris.
How is she?
A little better.
And the indescribable lech?
He's gone to the Lake District.
I hear he likes to swim out to a raft with a girl, then he strips right down. Ghastly. So he's squelched off.
I saw him off.
Hope you smote him to his palsied knees.
Not quite.
Course, I bet you were more subtle. Gave him such a tongue-lashing strips peeled off.
I said goodbye.
Sort of ice-cold daggers.
He kissed her and I hugged him.
Law.
Bertie loves us very much, as if we were his children. He is an astonishing friend. I think the world of him.
Ah, Vivi. Ah. Staff's made something splendid for tea. Can't wait to have you home.
Thank you.
Especially Viv. It's a bit like the end of term.
You must have been very close.
Oh, peas in the pod.
Mm. Mm. My older sister once told me every secret she possessed.
Perhaps not that close. We both boarded. Well, actually, we hardly ever met.
I see.
Fact is, I was at Sandhurst last year. Vivi got engaged. Then Mum told his family Vivi couldn't lead a normal life. When I got home, it was all over. I never even met the chap.
But you knew.
Oh, in the end. But ear to the ground, really. You see, in our family, you learn to say nothing at all. Not a murmur in a house of mutes sort of thing, and all will be revealed. What with all Vivi's medical bills, I had to settle for Malvern College. Sort of 1 point below Dulwich and 2 points up on Bedford. You can't get much lower than Bedford. Where were you?
St. Louis, Missouri. Bedford wins.
I wanted to ask you what sort of form you had, but with a Yank, you can't really do that. I mean, we've been Irish landlords since Cromwell.
Well, there's an Eliot who burned half the witches of Salem and an Eliot who founded Harvard University. Is that enough form for Cromwell?
I do like you and things, Tom. I want you and Vivi to fight through and win. Staff's made up the best bedroom at home. Separate beds, of course. Can't wait.
You won't mind if I tell you I've never met someone quite as stupid.
Eh?
At first I didn't grasp you. Now I've really begun to admire you.
I say?
You've turned ignorance on a massive scale into a virtue.
Oh, pax, Tom.
I go through life seeking intelligence and purpose. What you've got is a ready-made system which requires the minimum of maintenance. No spare parts needed. Oh, there's the occasional English inventiveness. But on the whole, you're the machine Mr. Henry Ford has looked for all his life. You're an embodiment, Morris. You do understand.
Eh? Not a word, actually.
It's this closed order you possess, as if by right, a kind of remission of the mind. You say you will, you want, you say you can't, you can. You say what you really mean, you don't at all. And when there's a chance to say nothing, you grab at silence with the speed of light. You've no idea how much I envy you. I haven't quite learnt the trick. I should have gone to Malvern, or was it Bedford?
I joined the regiment on Monday. Boats leaving for Aden. Gallipoli next. 3 out of 4 junior officers don't come back, they
Let's
say.
Let's not settle down into self-reflection. It doesn't suit you at all.
No. It's none of my business, really. But man to man, Tom.
All right.
Is there something beastly and quite bloody awful between you and Viv?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Well done, sir.
Is that the trick, Morris?
Rather.
Morris, ask him to take these boxes down to the car.
Well, it's all right. There we are.
Dear Tom.
Those letters belong to me. How did you find them? They belong to me and Bertie.
Dear Tom, you knew you'd have to forgive me if we went to Torquay. That was our agreement. I am now in the unenviable position of not having gone far enough. Seduction did not take place. Frankly, I was afraid.
Stop it.
Viv lives on a knife edge. There is something in her which will turn her into a saint or a criminal. If you won't share your life with her, she will strike you back in the most extraordinary way. Please find enclosed the munition bonds which will provide you with an income for the duration of the war, ever yours, Bertie. P.S. Hide your reply in the usual place. P.P.S. There isn't a sheet left in the place. Will you pop round to the Chinese Laundry in Coptic Street?
Give that back to me.
Dear Bertie, I thank you with all my heart. If you hadn't taken her away, I'd have broken in pieces. She needs and deserves a love I cannot give her. But I'm at an end. I dare not imagine what future we possess.
The letters do not belong to you.
But these belong to you. Here are your £3,000 of munition bonds.
Wife acquires taste for Japanese wallpaper. Son rejected by stockbrokers on account of brain capacity. Son-in-law turns pauper. Takes 6 years to produce 2 slim volumes of verse. Daughter takes to frenzied movements at dance studio. After the war, the need to be silly again. A sense of respite. Tom joined my club. I ran up a bill at the tailor's, my tailor's. I quickly found him a job at a bank. Sometimes, Tom and Viv played bridge with us at home. Unusual system of play. They'd sit opposite in silence and kick each other's shins beneath the table. Oh, been struck low by a filthy illness, reduced to a wheelchair. Retreated to the Warrior House Hotel, St. Leonard's. The children come down and take turns to read verses to me. I hate verse. I hate being read to.
Hello, Dad. Here we are.
Vivi and I will read extracts from Work in Progress.
I can't think of anything I'd like better.
Tom has chosen a working title.
Oh, good.
It's called He Do the Police in Different Voices.
Well, if there's one thing you need, it's a catchy title.
The poem is very long.
I'm sure it is.
You must realise Tom quotes from a dozen other poets and stories. You have to think of poetry as if it's a smashed vase.
Oh, all the time.
The central voice in the poem is Tiresias the prophet. He sees Athena's body naked. It's such a frightful shock. He thinks of nothing but rats in a sewer.
I don't think the poem...
And there are other voices which emerge. The Duchess from the Webster play. She made a reckless marriage to Antonio. Her family go to any length to stop it. There is a moment when she brushes her hair. And he cannot touch her. The horror engulfs him.
That's not what I meant at
all. I mean,
all.
It is right to explain how the poem works. I want Daddy to understand what the voices say.
Please, Vivi.
Tom quotes from Dante. The woman, La Pia, has married a soldier. Soon after the wedding, he's found out he's made a hideous mistake.
Is there anything more I need to know before I hear the poem?
I may burst out with a ritual incantation.
Oh. And what is that?
The cry of the Rhine Maiden from Goethe Dämmerung.
Well, of course it is, Vivi. How could it possibly be anything else?
You do want us to read the poem?
Can't wait.
I think he'd rather not hear it now.
You don't seem to... Why don't you understand when you should understand? He knows what the poem says now.
He doesn't have to know anything of the sort. He can just listen to the poem. What point is there in saying all of this?
Shall we begin?
Under the firelight. Under the brush. Her hair, spread out in fiery points, glowed into words, then would be savagely still. My nerves are bad tonight. Yes, bad. Stay with me. Speak to me. Why do you never speak? Speak. What are you thinking of? What thinking? What? I never know what you're thinking. Think.
I think we are in Rat's Alley where the dead men lost their bones.
Maurice, I'd forgotten what a gifted dancer you were. You're almost killing me with that ceremonial sword between your legs and between mine. I surrender.
It's pretty difficult to persuade anyone here to dance. I went up to this ravishing thing just now. She said she didn't dance with soldiers. Then I found this other creature by the bar. She said she didn't dance with men at all.
Oh,
life is thin, Mummy.
It's too much of Vivi to invite us here and never turn up. I don't even know what the host looks like.
Oh, pretty rich Jews. Houses crammed with masterpieces. They'll show up.
Oh, that's beside the point.
Anyway, the booze is ace.
There you are. Hiding. Hello, Mums.
You can't imagine what an unpleasant time we've had. Where were you?
Tom was late from work. We took an age changing.
I don't suppose you could fill us in on your get-up.
I'm Dr. Crippen's mistress.
That's a perfectly horrible idea.
Tom thinks it's brilliant.
Oh, dear.
Crippen's wife was a nightmare to live with. He couldn't bear to touch her. He poisoned her and cut her into pieces. I am the typist he fell in love with. We ran off to Canada, and on the boat, I dressed up as a boy.
I'm so glad your father isn't here.
These are our friends. These are the sorts of people we've come to know. Mums, I'll take you around the room.
The place is filled with opinionated types doing their utmost to be nasty to each other. In all the time I've been here, I've exchanged 4 words with the wine waiter, and I've had a perfectly bloody tango with my son's regimental cutlass. There isn't a face that I can put a name to.
Mums, a Marie Antoinette costume doesn't go down too well here.
Tom will join us, won't he?
Of course he will. Look, Mums, over there, in the black tights and the lemonade tutu, you remember? Mm-hmm. The most hated man in London.
No wonder I'm not enjoying this party.
Now, that ostrich in a bed quilt is Ottoline. She thinks I take away Tom's muse. Poor woman. I am his muse.
It's all right, Vivi.
That woman there, with a Kaiser Bill helmet. You've heard of Miss Mansfield from New Zealand, who writes stories.
Darling.
She walks out of a room if I come in.
I don't think I ought to be here.
And that one there, in the Mad March hair suit, that's Mrs. Wolfe. She meets Tom in secret. She wants him to leave me. She calls me a bag of ferrets.
I don't know when to ask you to stop, Vivi.
I wanted you to see our friends.
I'm afraid for you, darling.
Well, Tom is dying to see you.
I'll go home now.
Oh, but Mummy...
It's so difficult to believe what you say. Can you understand that? Good night, Maurice.
Good night, Mum.
Mummy, please!
I am so afraid.
It's an ace party, Viv.
Thank you.
Everyone's ace-cultured here.
That's right.
They know absolutely what they're doing. That's what I admire.
Good.
I can see Tom. Got his stethoscope on his chest. Makes a marvellous Dr. Crippen. What's he got in the black bag?
Stink bombs.
Awfully clever, is Tom.
Clever.
I mean, I know you have your ups and downs, but sort of in between the in-between parts, you must be jolly happy.
Happy?
Just for a moment, I thought he saw us. He's turned round and gone back into the ballroom.
Do something, will you?
Of course. Anything.
I want you to come home with us. Just tonight. Tom and I aren't really very good at being alone together.
Where is everything? My shirt. My socks. Where is the office shirt?
It isn't dry.
This will have to do.
The collar's got grime.
And there's just time for a cup of tea.
I had no money for the shopping.
Well then, I'll have to grab one at the station.
Nobody goes to work after a party like that.
I envy them.
Where is my checkbook?
I made one out for £3, so you can take it to the bank and sign it.
6 o'clock at the Grafton?
There's a private bar. I'll be with Lady Rothermere. You order a drink and wait in the foyer.
Ah.
Have you seen the umbrella?
I'm afraid it's gone.
And my hat?
That's also gone.
The gloves and the briefcase, I imagine they've gone too.
Yes.
You know I can't work without them, Vivi.
I have this dreadful confession. I was so ill last night when I got back. I was doing things in the kitchen. I don't know what happened to me. I threw a number of things down the rubbish chute. An umbrella, yes. I know there was an umbrella. And I can't get them back until the porter turns up.
Vivian.
Don't touch me.
Move aside. I want to see behind the sofa. Here they are. My umbrella, my bowler hat, and my briefcase.
What time is it?
Good morning, Morris.
Oh, my head.
Sleep well?
Not a lot.
I hope we didn't keep you awake.
Gosh, no.
I thought perhaps...
No, I can listen to people all night. Goes in one, flies out the other sort of thing.
Goes in one ear.
That's it.
And out the other.
Like a shot.
Yes.
Just like life, really.
Yes.
Rather.
You insufferable oaf. Help us.
Sir? Charles?
Tom. I spent half my childhood listening to the sea. Of course, I was raised in St. Louis. But then Dad built a summer house in New England for the vacation. So life was always in two halves. And so these two parts of me have always formed a kind of divide. I look towards America and it is barren. I live to be a European and discover corruption. I think you ought to know I owe you my life. The job at the bank, the clothes, the kindness. Well, I believe family is the root of culture. Oh, I can hear laughter in the Coral Kingdom. I know they sniff in their patent socks about this rather dull Yankee, but they can have no idea what a privilege it is to become a European. I still cannot put these two halves together. I am the clerk in the foreigner colonial section who imagines he's a poet. I'm a poet knight who hopes to achieve the rank of branch manager. But I'm afraid the clerk is almost destroyed with the idea that he will never write anything of lasting value. Charles. I have asked the bank for 3 months' leave of absence in order to write. It is entirely an artistic decision, and Vivian wants this too. She knows that we cannot go on like this. She knows that we cannot go on like this.
I'd never interfere, but what have you both done to each other?
1927, 3 Compayne Gardens.
Tom got Lady Rothermere to help him start a magazine. Not for the likes of myself. I shot off to Kenya, sort of start a new life. I never thought about home until Christmas turned up. Pangs a bit. After 5 turned up, it really did pang. Then dear old Dad dies. Just got back from Happy Valley to sort out the will with Tom.
Morris, if you'll sign here and here.
Easy peasy, Mums. That's it.
You do know, I've no idea what your father pays the servants. I don't think I've ever seen the baker's boy.
I'll have it all dealt with. You don't have to worry about the details. The trust fund pays for the upkeep of the house.
What do we tell Vivi?
Not a lot.
Is that the form, Tom?
I don't want to overburden her.
Well, of course, her saving grace is she knows nothing about money and is entirely uninterested in the contents of a will.
Hello. We do all look grim.
Oh, there you are. And a new voile dress. Black suit you, dear.
Mum's?
And looking so lovely.
Why, thank you.
Such a nice day. I thought you were in Selfridges.
What has Daddy left? How much is my share?
Vivi!
I can't loiter around, nor can Tom. There's a perfectly dear little house in Chester Terrace, and Tom needs a motor car.
We were talking about Mum's evenings. She's going to be jolly lonely.
Oh, pie.
And I've proposed she ought to play more bridge.
How much?
Oh, dear.
What is in the will?
14 residential villas in Dublin, all let. The manor house on Anglesey and this house. £20,000 of shares held in trust. A Lanchester sedan. And there is one outstanding loan to the estate. £1,000 from Morris.
I mean, when it's all added up.
We don't add it up. That's the point.
Well, however, there's just 3 of us left. Tom's best friend is the Bishop of Oxford. He has to keep up appearances. The dear boy eats sandwiches. Well, that must stop.
All this must be protected in order to minimise death duties. Everything stays in trust. The family become tenants in common.
Just tell me.
I have.
How much is mine now?
She won't understand.
Darling, not as much as you'd think.
Not?
You see, your father didn't want you to be bothered with awful papers. So what he has done, he's not said anything about you in the will. You do understand? So when it comes to paying such boring items like doctor's fees and nursing homes, we do it for you, just like we've always done. But, darling, the boys know best.
I have a right to some of Daddy's money.
The solicitor says there is no money.
Well, there's £1,000 to begin with. You owe that, don't you? What was it for, a new brain? Well, sounds expensive.
I borrowed from Dad to go to Kenya.
Will you pay it back?
When I can. It's not so easy just to pick it up and...
Oh? Where is it?
I bought a small coffee plantation from this chap in Nairobi.
Can't be bad.
It's on Mount Kenya.
Sounds bliss.
I was a bit green at the time.
Really?
I rather rushed it.
And?
There are no coffee plantations on Mount Kenya. Bit too steep. One grows coffee sort of below Mount Kenya. Now, I'm in the process of suing this chap, but the solicitor says that Africa's a pretty big place.
The moment I walked in... Oh, money sweats. Each one of you, the trustees. Is the solicitor informed of Morris's wide farming experience? There must be a saner way of losing £1,000 than tossing it down a fog-covered vertical slope somewhere in Africa.
I think Vivi would like to go home.
But... There are times, I understand, I cannot go home. When I'm not allowed in the same room. One can't talk with the Bishop of Oxford with all this going on. And a man of Tom's stature, he can't talk about entering the Church of England when all I want to do is get inside Selfridges before late closing. But should I be told the date of Tom's baptism, who will be the godparents? Has the solicitor begun to explore the fact that we sleep in separate rooms and that possibly I've actually driven Tom to this?
You have not.
You could let me keep that. At least it is something, isn't it? Quite right. If a baby wants to stick his head in a bowl and get his hair wet, it's called baptism. If I want to do it, it's called shampoo. But when a man of 40 suspicion stirs, we must take this into account. Something new to give the solicitor, along with the lunches!
Darling.
Let me brush your hair. Just as you always like me to. You'll find the solicitor knows about everything. Knows about the coffee plantation and the best way to keep the money intact. I'm sure he even knows something about Tom's sandwiches.
Oh, I see. I'm ill, am I?
Of course you're not.
No, no. I can hear myself. I know perfectly clearly what I'm saying. So let's not start an awful scene. Just carry on between you, as if I never came in. Please.
Bridge.
Compayne Gardens, Hampstead, 1932.
William Leonard James.
Honour it is, ma'am.
James is very dependable and has never had a day's illness in his life.
Very kind, Mr. Elliot.
He's served in the Manchester Police. Too modest to say so, he was awarded a commendation medal and presented in person by Princess Marina, Duchess of Kent. There was an incident in the canal, the boy and a dog.
Sort of saved the boy's life?
No, sir. The lad got swept off. Terrible, severe weather. It was the dog.
Thank you, James.
My deepest concern is for ladies of high rank who require special assistance. I take it, ma'am, you're curious to know how I sit about this.
Riveted.
I make the acquaintance of the family to ascertain its high standing.
That's us, Cromwell.
I observe the client in question from a discreet location. She may be at a railway station. I make my notes accordingly. I then require two doctors. The spouse concerned will wait until the client is in need of attention. He gives me a telephone ring, be it day or night. I immediately fetch round the doctors. The doctors are obliged by law to ask the client two questions of a simple nature. A client being in such crisis cannot answer to any medical satisfaction. I do hope I'm not bringing distress to you, ma'am.
And the next morning, James?
9 o'clock sharp, I brings the doctors to the magistrate. The spouse signs a petition supported by the doctor's affidavits. The doctors apply to the court for a reception order, and I arrange transport to the home. Yeah. Has Mrs. Wood anything she'd like to put to me?
Mrs. Haig Wood.
For those of a religious turn of mind.
Thank you, James.
Mum?
This way, James.
That it should come to this.
Wouldn't you, Mums?
I don't know what you mean.
This big house and staff all to yourself. You take her in. Go on.
I'm afraid.
Of course you are, else we wouldn't be doing this.
Where is she?
I've sent her to Selfridges. She knows she can go there. I've explained it very carefully. I'll be away 6 months. It's very good money, a professorship, Harvard. She won't be able to cope, Rose.
I mean, we're all in the car. Bit speedy, Tom's driving. She throws herself out of the window. And not any old window. The driver's window. Almost killed the lot of us. What?
Occasionally she gets car sick.
No! No, Tom's about to give a lecture at the Lambeth Palace.
Short memory, these top people. One slip with a wonky squaw, big stab in the back. The man can't go anywhere or take her anywhere.
Morris,
no, and what's she doing now? She's running all over town with a knife in her handbag. Poor sod. Only has to say, meet the wife, and a brigade of Bloomsbury Wallers stampede mad dog for the Kazi.
What knife?
Certain women are convinced their lives are in danger. Respectable married women with whom I'm supposed to be having affairs. Ottoline Morrow, Virginia Woolf.
Now, one wears yellow socks and purple feathers, and one is a collision between a kangaroo and a canary. I never know which is which. What would she be doing with a knife?
She's been observed at the station waiting for the Oxford train to come in. She stood outside a tea room for hours in the rain. Ottoline won't set foot on Paddington without an escort. Virginia only leaves her house by taxi.
Let's just say they are types who have a taste for notoriety and imagination.
I have gone from one doctor to another. The swellings are to do with her brain. The bleeding is intestinal catarrh. It is far worse than that. From one end of Harley Street to the other, every doctor has stated moral insanity is a disease of the brain. They are resolute.
The scandal, Mum.
We have to believe the doctors. Otherwise, we have nothing.
You must tell me. It is just for a while.
And it is a very impressive place. Acres of grass. Splendid inside. Best walnut. It had convinced me.
I don't suppose it looks very different from anything else.
Rather.
Inside, it's different. Poor baby.
Now, Mum's.
There always have been doctors. All her life. And at school. Oh, my. She was bright. First at piano. First to audition for the Royal Ballet School. To fail there was an honour. And languages. An impeccable accent. So much so, when a school party went to Paris, strangers stopped and were astonished. Such a good school, too. And what she could do with the common voice when she tried. Speech mistress gave her an award for the best Cockney accent in Tunbridge Wells. Things changed at 13. Your father didn't know. Of course not. Her body let her down, and her little mind couldn't accept it. In my foolish way, I softened life's blows. She used to, when she was a baby, something would spill. I'd go, why? She'd always say, cuz, mummy. I just don't think she can do it anymore.
I have the estimate for the car from the garage.
Really?
I don't think I can afford to pay for the damage.
Well, I wasn't driving.
What's the matter, Morris?
The minute money gets mentioned, things become pricey. I hope I'm not being asked to stump up. It's not my car.
I can itemize the repairs.
I'd rather you didn't.
There's a new radiator and water hose.
Anyway, I was concussed at the time.
There is material damage to the wall we collided with.
Really, Tom?
I think it of paramount importance. I'm sorry. We have to share the cost. I do make myself clear about the cost. I must know what to do. And there are windscreen wipers. Why are all the lights switched off? Vivian!
Swipe me. I appeal them taters, yeah?
Vivi?
Ain't but a sniff left of that there gin.
We are going to have to talk about things, Vivian.
Oh, we haven't done that for yonks.
In order that you understand just what you have done and what we both must face.
I'm ill again, am I?
Let's start with the motor car.
The motor car. Right.
I was driving along, four of us inside, You threw yourself over my steering wheel and almost fell out of the window. I lost control. The car crashed. Morris damaged his front teeth. You do accept that order of events. This is what happened. You nearly killed us.
That was the day, after all. I discovered you'd got the poetry chair at Harvard. And it meant so much to you. I wanted to share it with you. And you'd forgotten even to mention it to me.
Let's be even more precise. Didn't I write it down on the wall? Eye level. Now, there's no mystery about that. What does it say? Tom will leave for U.S. September 9, 1932. Charles Elliott Norton Chair, Harvard. Fee, $10,000. Tom will be back June 24, 1933. Does it say that?
Have you ever thought that's a pretty peculiar thing to do?
Ever so calmly.
Good Lord. If you'd had my day. Good Lord, it was awful.
Yes, I too have had a grueling day, which brings us to the chocolate.
The chocolate. Right?
We had a fit of pique. We got into a taxi and went straight home. We got out the largest tureen in the kitchen, filled it with lots of chocolate, boiled it all for a while, took it downstairs, straight back to Faber's office. And somehow got it all in the letterbox.
I used the paraffin funnel.
The postman had just made his parcel delivery. There was a manuscript of poems by Roy Campbell, a collection of essays on Action Française, which I'd personally commissioned, and an unsolicited translation of the Bhagavad Gita, sent from Bombay, all written in longhand, all utterly ruined. What is your opinion on this?
I do think Roy's poems are vastly overrated.
Let us just imagine what the Bhagavad Gita looks like after being submerged in a quart of Terry's chocolate.
Bonneville.
Let's think what these important essays on Action Française look like drowned in Bonneville.
Fudge?
Why chocolate?
I'd rung your office all morning. I felt there are wicked people in that building. Who have you trapped? Slaving for them. So I rushed down to the office. There was a man there who said I couldn't come in. Me!
I must write to Monsieur Charles Maurras in Paris. I'm terribly sorry. A fearful accident, you see.
I'll write myself to Maurras. My French is so much better.
Year after year, Vivian.
I'll sit in a corner of your office and clean all the Bhagavad whatever it is, and you won't know I'm there.
I've tried. The doctors have, even Bertie Russell tried.
Cuckold! I'm sorry.
Why the chocolate?
I only wanted to please. I can't get to you unless I please. You do like chocolate. Say you do?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Right from the start, we kept secrets. You didn't tell me. I had to find out. People whisper, there go Tom and Vivi, poor dears. What do they say to each other? What do they ever say? And we'd go home, go through the bills, count the medicine bottles, say good night. And I used to sit in the deck chair by the bed and watch for the morning sunlight in the hall. You were lodged inside my mind. I'd say, don't, Vivi, please. No, Vivi, please, let's not, Vivi. And we've gone from one room to another trying to pretend we are not strangers. So, we must be clear and very precise about it.
All right.
We need to talk about the knife in your handbag.
Mr. Elliott, sir?
Yes.
I have here Dr. Reginald Miller of 110 Harley Street and Dr. Ernest Syriax of 66 Wimpole Street in attendance upon my duties. Sir?
Wait.
Tom? Who brought them?
You know Dr. Miller and Dr. Syriax. They've both been very kind to you. We've all had a talk, and we all think it would be a good idea if they just come in and see you.
Like this?
They are all your doctors, Vivi. They want to do what is best for you. They want to come in, look at you, and make a decision.
At this time of night?
And afterwards...
Sir?
Wait!
I don't understand.
I want your help. You'll be doing this for me, so that I don't worry about you whilst I'm away. I mean, something awful could happen. There's the risk that the curtains might burn and things can fall out of the windows. How often has the porter found my shirts down in the yard?
What shirts?
I'd be about to go into a very important meeting and...
You mean Lady Rothermere?
I forget.
Lily Rothermere is the daughter of a blacksmith in Norwood. You don't know the difference between a trumped-up title and real breeding. 10 years ago, she took to her bed in the south of France and hasn't got out of it since. She's a tart.
Oh, it's too late for all of that.
It's the truth.
Mr. Elliot!
One moment!
I do have a choice.
The doctors will come in. They'll be discreet.
If I'm all right, not ill. If there's nothing wrong with
me. Then they'll go away.
I'm not going to be deprived of seeing you off on the boat.
If you can pull yourself together.
You'll let me be there waving you goodbye?
If you could just take hold of yourself.
After all, there have been good moments in the past. Just you and me, Tom. We've had our splendid times, haven't we?
Yes.
Hand me the mirror, Tom. And my lipstick and my rouge powder there. My leather handbag, thank you. Ready.
Thank you, Tom.
Gentlemen, please, come in, come in.
Mummy? Who else have you got out there, Mummy? Is Daddy's corpse out there too?
You must see this our way, dear.
Oh, really? Is there a better view? I fully understand one needs a decent stall seat for a real crisis.
Where is the knife? It is a nasty thing for a girl to take around in her bag. And it isn't fair on other people, because they might take fright.
As a matter of interest, who am I about to bump off?
There have been complaints.
From who?
Lady Ottoline Murrell.
She complained?
Yes.
Anyone else?
Mrs. Wolfe.
She's also on my list.
I'm afraid so.
You believe all this?
It causes me such grief. I have no other option.
Well, Mums, it's all a bit late. I don't wish to alarm you, but I caught up with Virginia in Piccadilly in the ladies' room at Lion's Corner House. I'm afraid it's all over.
Vivian?
I'll show you exactly.
What are you doing?
Are you going to like that?
Oh, Vivian!
Oh, God!
Stop me! Vivian!
It's all right. It's a trick knife. I got it from the same shop where Tom buys the stink bombs. You have a couple of questions? Go on.
The greasy pole is 10 yards high. The little brown monkey wishes to climb it. The monkey climbs 3 yards a day. But each night he slips back 2 yards. How many days will it take the monkey to reach the top?
8.
Please,
Next.
Rupert is taking his friends to Covent Garden. They have a box. Rupert is sitting next to Charles and on his left. Daphne sits immediately on Charles's right. Clarissa sits somewhere to the left of Daphne. Put them in the correct order.
Clarissa is next to Rupert. Rupert is next to Charles. Charles is next to Daphne.
They tried to have Mrs. Elliot put away. 5 times. But each time she got the questions right, and the doctors weren't fully satisfied. I did get to become night nurse. Gave up socialism for women. Dead lost that. Well, her Mr. Elliot did go to America for 6 months. While he was out there, he filed separation papers through his solicitor. And when he came back, he never went nearer. Poor woman. She was off her chump looking for him. Then, of course, they did get 2 doctors to sign medical certificates to support the petition.
Your Honour, under the Lunacy Act of 1890, sections 4 to 8, I hereby request a reception order for Mrs. Vivian Hagwood Elliot of 68 Clarence Gate Gardens. I will read out the statement of particulars, Your Honour. That Mrs. Elliot denied she was Vivian Hagwood Elliot when she was confronted in broad daylight in Bond Street by 2 distinguished ladies who knew her well, a landowner and a director of a publishing house. That she changed her bed linen sometimes twice a day, no matter where she stayed, and stole or hid the linen as she saw fit.
The flat, Baker Street.
Cigarette, Morris.
Thank you. Well, that seemed to go all right.
I am so sorry, Rose.
After you came to us, you had suits, handmade shoes from Lobb. Charles even got you the job at the bank. You met our family and friends. I did warn them. He's a bit of a stick, but so eager to be like us. And you were fascinated. You had a place. Then those Wallers got hold of you, the Virginias and the Otterlines. I don't want you to think that Bloomsbury riffraff is the heart of English life. There is another stock. One great uncle rode the length of the Argentine on a pony until he found his perfect tract of land. There are Hagwoods buried as far afield as Alberta or Nepal. In unmarked graves. Oh, unfashionable, yes. Fine for a snigger behind Bloomsbury shutters. We have magistrates and councillors, secretaries of the hunt and church wardens, partners in the fine linen trade. This is stock. It goes about its business, is quiet about it, becomes that soil of the field. Quite unexceptional. An unmarked soil. But there it is. And, I might add, never before has one of us been carted off in disgrace to a lunatic's house. Oh, you swore to us you'd look after Vivi for always. But in between have fallen these long years. It's what you didn't do. So now you're famous on a bookshelf. What else can you learn? What is there left we can give you?
I love this family. I've always wanted to be a part of it. Family unity.
No,
is...
please. I've lived out my life in the hope that Vivi would be acceptable to someone. Not quite the moment to give me the benefit of your mind. I'll take this laundry basket. After all, it's mine.
Thank you.
I have a couple of free tickets.
Thanks a million.
Speaking of the Dorland Hall tonight.
Ah.
You'll be astonished who's on your row.
Total celebs.
I'll keep you guessing.
Rather. He's an awful swine of a nuisance. I've arranged to take a pal to the dogs.
Oh.
You've got a good show lined up for the troops, so to speak?
It's called Is There an Alien Culture?
That's the stuff to thrash them with.
I might have to stay at your place tonight. I'll take the couch.
Ah. It's an awful swine of a bother, but you see, this pal's not a chap. He's a member of the opposite sex. I mean, you do understand. Where's my coat?
I have to settle everything up with the solicitor. Vivi's place, the money, I'm going to have to rely on you.
Ah.
I do need you.
Awful thing about this swinish thing that I'm off away. I've got to have a chat with our man at the Nigerian Commission tomorrow, and I'm off. I'm looking forward to it, really. I thought I'd give the west coast of Africa a try. Can't make more of an ass of myself there than I did on the east coast. Not too many coffee plantations in Nigeria.
For how long?
Absolute years.
Morris, there's a pile of legal matters to tie up.
Oh, you can do that.
What about Vivi's place?
I just tell Selfridge's depository to take it all away and sort of change the locks.
But, Morris...
After all, you're almost one of us now.
Oh, really? But not quite. Perhaps I try a little too hard.
You don't understand.
Too deferential when I ought to shrug things off. I should laugh, not quite up to the Malvern College or Dulwich, or was it Bedford? I forget.
My old army chaplain used to say...
Sure he did, Morris. I'm sure he did. I'm sorry. Always found it so easy to call you the ass. Forgive me, I'm the ass. You know we loved each other. But with such pain, at what cost? It was all done in such haste. We were always fugitives. Vivi sick all the time.
Rough stuff.
I don't sleep very much. Well... Sometimes the night watchman at the office lets me in early and we have a cup of tea in the basement.
I say, Tom, man to man.
Hello.
You and Vivi.
Still with you.
The old sort of thing under the sheets.
Beginning to lose you.
I mean, there must have been a good moment. A single second. Take this American lass of mine in Mombasa. We were out on the Maasai Reserve. The old heat gets to you. And I actually rogered her on the grass. And in the far corner of my eye, I saw this dead buffalo. Right there. Now, I've never forgotten the look in that creature's eye to this day. I mean, there must have been one moment like that.
I can't say that there was.
When you think back...
Not one.
God, this coat's heavy.
I shall miss you more than you know.
Oh, you make me blush. I'm such a chump.
No, really, I think the world of you.
I will keep in close touch. Dreadful about birthdays, mine. I'm pretty hot on Christmas cards.
Remember old King Balo?
Those were the days which rhyme. Whatever happened to him?
He got a little quiet. Oh. Negroes have become somewhat fashionable these days.
Oh, shame.
The fratress?
Brother-in-law?
Brother.
Greek.
Latin.
No! It's been splendid knowing you. I feel I've touched history. Well, sort of
hung on. Tom.
Here.
What have we done?
1937. The All-Night Chemist, Baker Street.
Oh. Evening, Louise.
Mom.
It's been a frightful day. Couldn't find a hat anywhere. Couldn't get into the bank. Taxis are just impossible in this weather.
But what are you doing here?
I haven't come for a prescription.
No.
I'm on the run.
Come in, Mum. Come in. Sit down, Mum. Now you... settle down. And tell me, how did you get out?
The home has lodges and gates. They aren't manned all the time. I slip out and flag down a passing car. I've done it before.
Where have you been, Mum?
Well, I went to an art gallery and popped round to the bank. Tonight I had a bite to eat in the Strand. Then I called into a meeting.
I wrote to you, but they sent my letters back. It is that Mr. Elliot, really, isn't it?
Poor Tom.
Poor Viv.
I've been an appalling wife. But we are still locked together. I know what he wants to say. Sometimes he don't plunge. I read in the Times he was speaking tonight about aspects of fascism. Tom adores the fascists. He has some reservations, thinks they're a bit pagan. So I went along dressed like this. I stood up and cheered him. I jumped up on the stage beside him. I said, "Bravo," I said. "Oh, Tom." He understood immediately.
What happened?
These rats and leeches from Faber's rushed round. Then I saw this man, James, in the crowd. He's the one who takes me back to Northumberland House. I ran out into the street.
Like that?
It is the fascist uniform.
Is it now?
I'm so tired.
Well, you can't lie down with all this like on. Here, let's take these things off you. Shall we? Blimey! And it's made of silk. Did you buy it?
Selfridge's. The French counter. I thought if I'm going to be a fascist, I might as well do it in style.
And the rest now. And this. That's right. Oh. I've been doing a bit of studying. The law states, if you could keep out of that home for 30 days, you can ask for the court to set you free. On the grounds you can fend for yourself, like. Now, I've got this friend who's got this houseboat. If I could just get you onto the train in the morning. But do I dare? Yeah. You sleep, Mum. Safe as ours is, Mum. It'll be all right in the morning. You see if it ain't. Who is it?
William Leonard James.
1947, the Onslow Court Hotel.
Met this wonderful American girl. She danced cabaret in the south of France. Married her instantly. We were inseparable. Durban, Montevideo, the tropics. Mum's died in 1941, alas. Eventually located London, Christmas 1946, grabbed a suite at the Onslow Court Hotel. Dropped in on Vivi at the home.
Vivi?
Hello, Morris.
God!
It's good to see you.
Absolutely.
And you look so fit.
That's Africa.
Lemon?
It looks ace here, doesn't it?
Oh, it is.
And the service?
Oh, ace.
Stunning chandelier.
I love it.
That's the spirit.
Take that seat there. How is Lagos?
bit sticky. Oh. The powers that be were daft enough to make me chief of police.
Well done.
Then hit a sort of bald patch. High Commission wanted to hold a victory parade. Night before, we had a curfew. I rounded up every dark blighter I could find. Next morning, popped them all round to the chief magistrate's court. No chief magistrate. I'd locked the rascal up with the others in the curfew.
Oh, dear.
The commissioner gave me a pretty generous reference in the circumstances. And so, here I am. Mind you, full of plans. Oh, and suddenly, Tom rings up. He's got some funds to invest. Will I help? He's on the shortlist for the Nobel Prize. Positively certain he's got it.
Tom's doing well, isn't he?
That's right. Oh, stupid me. Dear old Vivi, after all this time, and there I go, lathering off at the mouth, I want to know how you are. How's it all gone?
Pretty quiet.
I can't believe that.
Quietish.
And you've had masses of visitors. Celebs from the book world?
Not masses.
And Tom sent you pots of stuff to read?
They're a bit funny about the post here. Don't like you to receive too many things.
That's right.
I've kept all your Christmas cards.
That's it.
I have learned to cook.
Practical stuff.
Yes. And I write short stories and take my dance tuition.
You are sort of all right.
Perfectly all right.
I mean, you are all right.
Oh, yes. More tea?
I mean, you seem perfectly okay.
I'm as sane as you are, Morris.
That's it.
Which may not amount to much, God knows.
Oh, squelch. And you do see chums? A chum drops by?
You're the first chum I've seen since Mummy died.
Ah. Oh. But there still is old Tom.
Yes.
He must write, sort of thing.
I haven't heard from Tom for 12 years.
Ah.
I still get tired.
Oh, of course.
You've been so kind.
Oh, God, nothing.
When you and Tom spoke, did he say anything?
We only had 5 seconds. Rush call about money, that's all.
This is for Tom.
Ah.
It's chocolate fudge.
I've no idea when I'll see him. I don't know his address even.
I made it myself.
Look, I don't know when I'll actually...
But if you do...
I can't promise.
But if...
That's right, of course.
Goodbye, Morris.
Dr. Charles Todd. I'm a member of the United States Air Force, assigned as an observer to the Board of Control. Shall we look at your case, perhaps?
By all means.
When did menopause occur?
7 years ago.
Since 1940, you've had relatively good health?
Yes.
Mrs. Elliott, when you arrived here, what was the initial treatment?
I don't know what the matron called it,
but we called it Miss Potbromchlor.
Potassium, bromide and chloral.
Aldous Huxley said I drank ether, and I stank of it.
Nobody drinks ether. You did take a lot of peraldehyde early on. You sweat it out. That smells.
Yes. I suppose you could encapsulate a quarter of a century of frightfulness in that way.
There are, today, recommended courses of hormonal treatment which would have helped your problem.
Really?
Ma'am, I'm not too acquainted with English law, but it states here you have a private income of £900 a year from the family estate. As a certified patient, you're not allowed access to this money, but Mr. Elliot was registered as a trustee of the estate, which pays a regular banker's draft to Northumberland House. It seems to me you're paying for your own internment here. At the same time, your ex-husband still appears to exercise control of your money. Could you clarify this?
I wouldn't dream of clarifying anything to you. I don't know what you're insinuating.
And in all this time, you've been here. No one has made an application for your release. No member of the family. No trustee.
How dare you? My husband is the sweetest man on earth. He has borne the most awful lies and vilification with absolute courage. He belongs with kings covered in raiment.
Look, excuse me.
T.S. Eliot is the greatest living poet in the English language.
Ma'am, I'm just an ordinary medic from New Jersey. I'm sorry. I've never heard of Mr. T.S. Eliot.
You won't belittle me like that. I gave Tom the title to the Wasteland. Worked beside him on the Criterion magazine. I am threaded through every line of poetry he wrote since we met. Ash Wednesday is dedicated to me, should you look. Every day of my life had been a frightful battle to stay sane. Never gave up, in spite of some. And Tom has had my undying love. And he will have it to the last breath in my body. And he knows. And that you can never, never, never take away.
That winter was most terrible cold. My chemists kept up regular deliveries to the mental homes. That was how I heard about Mrs. Elliot. She died very sudden. Pneumonia, they said. She was 59. I took it upon myself to attend the funeral. It was in Pinner, Middlesex. I recognised none of them at first. Very well dressed. I kept my distance. And the vicar said these words, and then they all turned away. That's when I saw Mr. Elliot. He seemed to stumble. Then he was kneeling there. This gent with a moustache tried to pull him away. Mr. Elliot was with his hands, as if he wanted to dig down, as if he wanted to scratch up the earth and pull it all up in his fists, lumps of it.
Tom and Viv, Tom was played by Benedict Cumberbatch and Viv by Leah Williams. Morris was played by David Haig, Rose by Judy Parfitt and Charles by John Rowe. Louise was played by Emily Randall, Janes by Chris Pavlow, Dr. Todd by Gunnar Cawthery and the Barrister by Jonathan Taffler. The play was written by Michael Hastings and directed by Peter Kavanagh.
Tom and Viv was broadcast to commemorate Michael Hastings, who died in November. On Weekend Woman's Hour in a couple of minutes, should music videos have an age rating? Should alcohol be used as a way to unwind? And how true is the assertion that it was Margaret Thatcher who created the North-South Divide? Weekend Woman's Hour in a couple of minutes.